on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Friday, December 4th edition of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me. As we all, you know, the show is all about answering questions, investing questions, general money questions. We try to offer some perspective. We look at trends. You know, we do everything we can to try to keep you informed of what's going on and try to educate everybody as to how the stock market works. And it is difficult. It's not a simple thing. I wish it was. But it certainly is interesting. It's very interesting. Now, each Friday, our premium newsletter goes out to subscribers, and each Friday on InvestTalk, I try to give you a brief idea of what's in it. In the current market conditions sections, I talk about the jobs report, of course, because everybody was interested in today's jobs, and they were big, 211,000. That was not nearly as big as it was last month, but it was pretty big, and the previous 2 months were revised higher, so it was a very good jobs report. But there's a lot of other economic news out this week, too, and I'm going to go into those more detail. There's always a couple stock ideas in the newsletter. This week, we talked about some alternatives to cash. You know, cash pays absolutely nothing, and maybe that will change when the Fed starts raising rates, but it doesn't pay much. There's a couple alternatives we suggested that you could use. And under the portfolio management section, we discussed, just the current climate that we're in, and that how you react when you're in this kind of climate, and people that are sitting on the sidelines, how to get back in the market, just that kind of thing. And finally, consumer watch section, we talked about gift cards and the different uses and penalties and dangers of using them and the benefits as well. Anyway, so that's what's in the newsletter today. You can get it by going to investtalk.com. It's less than $10 a month. And it comes out every Friday. So let's go to the Q&A. Question and answer section is the most fun part of this show. And I hope you can give us a call. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm from Seattle, and I'm a podcast listener. And my question is about natural gas. I'm kind of new, and I'm trying to understand whether this natural gas midstream companies would be something to look at for a five-year or longer investment, especially for the dividends. Why is natural gas continuing to drop? Is that because of the oil prices that have been falling, or is it the effect of a milder winter, or is this one of those cyclical issues? And I'd like to know what your expectations is for demand for natural gas for like the longer term, 5 years plus. So I'm looking at companies, including a company called Enterprise Products Partners. Their symbol's EPD. I'd like your thoughts on this, if it would be a good longer-term investment. Thanks a lot. You guys have a great show. Appreciate it. Bye.
And, of course, natural gas will be around for a long time, forever, and I think it'll be higher 5 years from now. I do. Long-term, it's going to be used more and more and more. The issue is supply. We have tons of supply. More supply than we need, just like in oil right now. A lot more supply that is needed. And with all that fracking that was going on the last couple of years and slowed down way slowed down this year, all that fracking produced a lot of natural gas wells. So there's just a huge supply of natural gas. The U.S. is blessed with a tremendous amount of it. And that's why prices are so low. And I can tell you this, one of the smartest oil companies out there, ExxonMobil, got into natural gas in a big way a couple of years ago because they look long-term, and they think natural gas is a great long-term play, and so do I. Now, for EPD, Enterprise Products Partners, these master limited partners ships are really great for the dividend. That's what people are looking for. And you have to be conscious of what you're buying. It's going to make $1.45. It made $1.45 last year. This year it's going to make $1.28 per share. And next year it's going to rebound $1.46. Sales have been falling because demand has been falling. And it is a very cyclical situation. If the economy shrinks, demand will go down. But you also got the supply side. We got way more supply. So that's why they've been under pressure for so long, downward. Is it a good long-term play for the dividend? Yes. But you just would, you know, you really want to buy it at a low. And it looks like, you know, it's fallen down to $22 almost even. Back in late September. And today it's at $22.93. Just barely touched that. And it was down today, the market being up. And so that looks like it might be support. You got to wait. And that might be a place to pick it up. But you got to wait to see if it starts to bounce up first. It's a weak, ugly-looking chart. I'll say that. But the dividends are probably fairly secure. Okay? You're counting on the returns from your investments to help you find your retirement. Returns that can will take a hit absorbing the fees, especially in the mutual funds. So I want to talk about that. It's going to be one of our major talking points today, the fees and the mutual funds, the fees that you don't see. Also, I want to talk about exports and jobs. Those numbers came out today. I think we should touch base on both of those things. Who is George Graham Rice? Do you know who that is? George Graham Rice. He makes Madoff and Mr. Ponzi look like small-time crooks compared to how much he swindled people out of. George Graham Rice. Did you ever hear of him? And what with the raising of the rates, I wanted to talk about this yesterday. I got to it a little bit, but I think I still want to touch base more about housing market. What will it do to the housing market if the Fed raises the rates? Will it really cause a problem there? And those are the things we're going to talk about, unless, of course, you want to call and ask your question. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. The market had a huge rebound today, up 370 points on the Dow, 105 points on the NASDAQ, and 42 points on the S&P 500. Remember, they had a big up day on Tuesday, gave it all back on Wednesday, then a big down day yesterday, and a huge up day today. So what was the end result of all this moving up and down for this week? The indexes were up a little bit, just a little. So you had all that activity, volatility, and not much change from week to week. So that's what I think we're going to have to get used to volatility. It's been going on for some time now, and it got worse in the summer, and it's still with us. We go through periods of, you know, a week, 2 weeks where there's not much volatility. Then all of a sudden you get what we have like this week. Interesting. My economic outlook for December will be going to investors, Invest Talk Insiders soon. Each month I break down data and offer some perspective on how the new month may shape up. You can become an Invest Talk Insider for free. Just go to investtalk.com and sign up.
Hey, I'm Brian from New York. I follow the podcast. I'm a huge fan. I've been looking at Skyworks Solutions for quite some time now, and I keep on wanting to buy the stock and get involved in it, and I keep on hoping that it's going to go down. However, each day it's been going up pretty well, and I'm not sure if I should continue to wait for it to go back down or if I should just go on the ride, you know, while it's going up. All right, thank you. I'm going to go back to listening to the podcast.
Skyworks, SWKS, Skyworks Solution, manufactures analog mixed signal ICSs, amplifiers, tuners, detectors, diodes, couplers, mixers, demodulators. 99% of all that, I have no idea what it really does. I know it's techy, but I don't know what it really does. At some point, you don't want to have paralysis by analysis. I almost bought this for our managed accounts a couple days ago. Almost did. I opted for a couple of other stocks instead. And I should have just went ahead and bought it, Skyworks, and not worried about it. It's on my buy list to buy. And, of course, it had, you know, a down day yesterday, but it wasn't that big compared to the market. And it had an update today, which was pretty good, $4.48 to $87.92. The fundamentals support the stock. Strong fundamentals. It's going to make $6.30 this year after making $5.27 last year. It's going to make $7.28 next year. That's 16 to 20% growth, 20 to 30 to 40% sales growth every quarter. Very strong company, and it's not overly expensive. You know, it's going to make $7.28, and it's an $87 stock or $88 stock. Well, that's only, you know, that's only about, what, 13 PE? That's not bad. Return on equity is 36%. There's a lot of things I like about it. So, you know, you're not going to have me say bad things about it. There's no debt. You know, mutual funds are buyers. You know, that's why, you know, those fundamentals tell me I should get into the stock. If I were you, and just buy it, it's got the fundamentals. Yeah, you can wait for a pullback. Yeah, you could. Pullback is, you know, in the mid-70s is where it would pull back to. And it may well do that. You may buy it. The day you buy it may just turn around and go down on you. Now, for people who worry about that kind of thing, I say, well, then buy half of what you want to own right now. Then buy the other half when it pulls back. That way, if it keeps going up, at least you're in it. Yeah. So it's a good company. I really like it. SWKS. Okay, let's... Well, we have 3 minutes before our break. So let's talk about those hidden fees. Mutual funds. The mutual funds charge a fee. And I'm not talking about buying or selling it or, you know, the commissions you pay if you buy a loaded fund. I'm just talking about their fees inside the fund. Every fund has a fee, like every ETF. Not only is there a trading cost for an ETF, but there's also an annual fee that's inside it. The average mutual fund fee is a little bit low, below 1%, but some funds charge quite a bit, especially if they're dealing with foreign equities. They charge a lot. But there's also other kinds of fees. That's the one, that's called an expense ratio. That's the one fee that you can't not avoid. It's impossible to avoid it. Every mutual fund has it, that expense ratio. Then there's funds that have 12b1 fees. And these are annual expenses that are charged to you for marketing the fund. 12b1 fees. Now, you don't get a bill or anything. They just, you know, I was asked this the other day, well, how do I know when they charge it? Well, you really don't. You know, if they're going to charge, let's say they charge 1% a year. They'll take that all, you know, one day they'll take the portion of that or all of it. And the next day the mutual fund will open up a few pennies, 30 cents, whatever, a lower than it closed at the day before. And you think it's just normal trading volume, trading up and down in value, when actually part of it was because they took their fee. That's how they do it. Be careful. You don't want to buy funds with 12b1 fees. You don't want to buy funds with loaded fees or commissions up front. You don't want to buy funds with redemption fees. Those are fees that when you sell it, you have to pay. They take it off. You don't have to. There's no need for a redemption fee. Many times, some of the mutual funds out there, if you don't hold it long enough, they'll have a fee because you didn't hold it long enough. So, you know, you just have to understand how it works and know what funds you're buying. Lowest fund family fee-wise is the Vanguard, I believe. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. And I want to hear your question. Any money questions, fine. 888-99-CHART. We'll get to the phone next.
Appreciate your show and your educational value of it.
Invest Talk is here to help.
Thank you.
And we thank you for listening. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Federal income tax is an expense and should be managed like any household expense. Income, investing, and tax management for the retired household. That's one of our talking points for Monday's podcast. We hope you can join us then.
888-99-CHART. We're here for you. Beginner, experienced, investor, doesn't matter. 888-992-4278. And if you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during the live program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, you still can call.
Hi, my name is Ram. And I want to know about the stock symbol is KKR. What is a good time to buy and what's your opinion? Thanks, bye.
KKR and Company, it is out of New York, provides global alternative asset management and capital markets transaction services to institutional investors. I don't see anything. The only reason why anybody would look at this probably is for the dividend. The dividend is listed at almost 9%. But that's kind of misleading because this company is very volatile in its earnings and its sales, and then every so often they'll pay a big dividend, and it makes it look like it's a good solid dividend payer when it's not very consistent and it doesn't necessarily grow its dividend. You know, I don't see any need. They're going to buy a 25% stake in Marshall Wallace, provides the close long short equity strategies. They're going to make $1.75 this year and $2.57 next year, so that looks really good, especially if they made $1.16 last year. So a huge growth, but then again, the year before, 2013, they made $2.30. Year before that, $2.21. Year before that, 1 cent. See, so it's one of these, you never know. You just never know. Sales growth is minus 45% this last quarter. Quarter before, that was up 3%. A year ago, it was up 57%. You see how volatile that is? So it's not something that I would consider. It's the stock price has been falling recently. It does look like it's trying to find support right around $16 a share, and it's at $16.33 now. But it was down 5 cents today on a big update. It was down 5 cents. How come? It's just not one that I would be interested in. I'm afraid I'm just not. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Of course, the jobs report came out this morning for November, and there was quite a few jobs, 211,000. They expected 200,000. Do you remember last month it was 298,000? And the unemployment rate stayed at 5% because more people joined the labor market. Remember how the government counts? It doesn't count everybody who's unemployed when you talk about the unemployment rate. It talks about everybody who's unemployed collecting unemployment benefits. And when you run out of benefits, but you're still unemployed, they don't count you as unemployed anymore. Makes no sense, but that's how it works. But they did revise up the jobs of the previous 2 months. This is a pretty strong jobs report, so it, you know, it was good news all around. Of course, the market took off. I might have been from that. But our exports have fallen again, as reported this morning. Down, you know, it's constant down 1.4%. Imports fell too, 0.6%. Our trade deficit increased 3.4%. You know, when the trade deficit goes up, it detracts from our GDP number. When we import more than we export, that pulls our gross domestic product number down, makes it look like we're growing less slowly. And what was the cause? It's all about the strong dollar. Our dollar, the U.S. dollar being strong, is up 11% this year against other currencies, basket of other currencies, and about weak global growth. Those two things. It really hurts our exports. And, you know, that weak global growth and the strong dollar really puts pressure on our larger companies' earnings. They don't make nearly as much, because a big portion of their earnings do come from outside the United States. So the good number on the jobs report, not so great on the exports and imports numbers. Just not too very good. Now let's get back to our listener line, 888-99-CHART. Your questions are always important. Here's a call that came in earlier.
Thanks for your show. Thinking about getting into CVS, that ticker symbol CVS. Wondering what price would you get into it, and what do you think about it? Thank you very much.
CVS, of course, the CVS Health operates 7,800 pharmacies, drugstores in 44 states and Puerto Rico and in Brazil. It's a $105 billion company. It's huge. And for such a big company, it's pretty impressive that it can grow its sales about 10% and grow its earnings 12 to 15%. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. I'm impressed that they could do that being that big because it's that difficult. Having said that, the stock has been under pressure since August, downward. Had a decent day today, up $2.61 to $95 a share. Long term, this company is not going anywhere, but it's not necessarily cheap either at a 19 PE. You know, so it's not cheap. But next year's going to make 581. So what's that going to do? That means the PE is going to be 17, 18. That's still kind of pricey. And the reason why it's kind of pricey is because it's such a strong sales and earnings, 10% growth for a $105 billion company. Pretty darn good. I mean, I like it. I was just, and it's at a point where it might be attractive on a chart as a buy. What you could do is you can buy it now, and if it breaks below, $90, just get out. It's right 95 now, so that's about a 5.5-6% stop loss. And if it could, it might go back up to 112, 115, which was in August. Give it a shot. I like it. Solid company. Just a little expensive. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up on the next half hour, keeping a lid on risk for your younger generation. Coming up on Invest Talk 101. 888-99-CHART is the anytime number. You can reach us right now.
This is Invest Talk for Friday, December 4th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now. And remember, we're here to help with any money matter. If you're looking at retirement soon, you may have a question about dispersing funds during retirement. We can talk about that. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. It's time for Invest Talk 101. Keeping a lid on risk for millennials. Millennials! Those born between 1980 and 2000, right in there, are more likely than other generations to be risk adverse. They hold 52% of their savings in cash and only 28% in stocks, according to a recent study. But investing conservatively or investing very little and holding your money in cash runs counter to all conventional investment advice for young people. It just does not make sense. You should be aggressive when you're young because you have a long time horizon. But, you know, I don't blame them because you have had the dot-com implosion and then the financial crisis. So there's fear out there, a lot of fear. And they really need to get over that fear. Now, here are 4 points from Laura Shin, who writes for Forbes, to talk about to keep the risk down. Well, learn more about the various types of investments. That's number one. You don't have to be just in stocks or a certain kind of stocks. You can learn more about different kinds of investments. Invest in broad, diversified portfolio, low-cost ETFs, for instance, and index funds. Don't try to beat the market. Participate in the market. In trying to beat the market, investors usually underperform not just the market, but even the investments they choose that they want to invest in. So, and that's, you know, it just makes sense for a young person to stay in the market. I realize that there's going to be times when you're going to lose money, but look what happened in 2000. Look what happened in 2008. The market did come back. Now, 2000, it took years for it to come back, but not in 2008. Almost all made all that downstroke up in a year later. The market acts that way. It's unpredictable. That's Invest Talk 101. Do you have questions about how to reduce risk in your portfolio? Give me a call. You can always take our risk questionnaire on our website, investtalk.com. It gives you a risk score and tells you how much risk you're comfortable with. Kind of an easy and free thing to do. So it's a free risk analysis tool right there on investtalk.com. It's becoming pretty popular to determine your own appetite for risk, by the way. It really is.
Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. That's the title of Steve's book. It's a no-nonsense beginner's guide to the world of buying and selling stocks. What moves stock prices? Do I need to learn economics? Can I keep it simple? These questions and many others are answered in an easy-to-read format. Maybe this is a gift idea for yourself. Look for the recommended books list on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Colin from Massachusetts. I listen to your show most every day on podcast. Love it. Great show. My question today is on Cost, C-O-S-T is the symbol. I'd like to know what you think of the valuation of the company, where it stands right now, and what the stock price might be, say, a year out from now. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, Costco is fully priced. A year from now, it's not going to be much higher. Then again, it could. That's just a guess, because I can only tell you what it should be trading at. And it's trading at a 30 PE right now. The five-year average is 20 to 33 on PE, so it's at the high end of its PE average. It's growing. It's earning 6 to 10% per year. It's growing its sales 1 to 5% per year. It's big, $72 billion company. And I love Costco. But if you're talking about, you know, how much is it worth? Well, it's not worth $166 when it only makes $6.31. You know, it's just not worth it. It's not a proper value. Now, why is it trading at such a high PE ratio? Because it steadily grows every year, very consistent, good, solid business model, not too much debt. Mutual funds are slowly buying it. Oh, man, it has all those fundamental things. But it's risen from $136 a share back in September to now $166 a share. It's probably going to give back some of that. Okay, it probably will give back some of that. In a year from now, I'm not sure it has any more oomph that it can get bigger. Remember, it already has stores almost everywhere, almost 700 wholesale membership stores across the country. So it's got, you know, it's moving to Mexico, Australia, Spain, and Japan. It's trying to expand. Good numbers, but not that good to justify the price. So I think it's pretty pricey. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Well, this morning's jobs report pretty much nails the coffin on whether or not the Fed is going to raise rates. They are definitely going to raise rates when they meet 15th and 16th, and after that they're going to announce an increase of the rates. It would be almost impossible for them not to do it. There's no... You know, they've been talking about doing it. They said they're going to do it. Janet Yellen says that the economy can withstand it. On and on and on. So, and then the jobs report was the last major report, if it was bad, that they could justify not raising. We don't have any inflation. Why are the rates so low? There's no reason for it to be this low. So they're going to raise rates. When they raise interest rates, the rate they raise is the overnight rate, the bank rate, right? It does not raise other rates. So is it going to raise the mortgage rate, for instance? The Fed has nothing to do with the mortgage rates. The banks establish those rates themselves. And it's based on supply and demand. Now, are people going to not get houses and not take out mortgages when the rates go up that the Fed is talking about? No. Will the banks raise their mortgage rates? They've already started to slowly creep them up, and they probably will continue to slowly creep them up. But will that destroy the job, the housing market? Probably not. Remember, 200,000 more jobs were out this day. If the job market has been improving slowly for a long time, therefore people will continue to be buying properties. I don't think the Fed hike will have any impact, very little impact. Okay, and remember, wages have been going up. So houses, you know, have not. You know, if you live in the Bay Area, your house is super screamed up in value, right? Huge movement, but across the nation, that's not necessarily so. Not necessarily so. And prices have been calming down here in the southern part of California. They've gone up, but not nearly as much as in the Bay Area. But across the nation, houses have not that, they've gone up, but it's not insane like we hear on the West Coast. So I don't think it's going to hurt mortgage rates just because the Fed raises the rates. I don't see that happening. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4270. Are you new to investing? To understand this vast topic, you need to break it down, maybe into little smaller bits and components, small pieces. The best place to start to do that is terminology. And get used to simple terminology. What is the stock market? Do you know what it is? What is a stock market? What is a stock? Do you have basic questions like that? Well, if you do, don't be shy. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now or anytime. If you have a specific question about your personal finances, you can get a note to me on investtalk.com, and I will answer you. I promise. I answer all my emails. Just click on Contact Steve.
Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. That's the title of Steve's book. It's a no-nonsense beginner's guide to the world of buying and selling stocks. What moves stock prices? Do I need to learn economics? Can I keep it simple? These questions and many others are answered in an easy-to-read format. Maybe this is a gift idea for yourself. Look for the recommended books list on investtalk.com.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm calling from Walnut Creek. I was calling to get your opinion on Under Armour. I'm looking to buy, possibly on the next correction that I hope we have here pretty soon. And I was wondering if you could tell me what a good buy point is and what your valuation is. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I really like Under Armour as a company. Headquarters out of Baltimore, markets athletic shirts, shorts, underwear, outerwear, made from, all kinds of things, synthetic fabrics and moisture-resistant wicking, synthetics, that kind of stuff. But it's really expensive. Everybody likes it. So it's come down from $104 down to $84 in the last couple of months, and you would think, okay, here's a pullback, and it can't be expensive. No, wrong. They're only going to make $1.05 this year. It's an $87 stock. They're going to make $1.05 per share at $87 stock. That means the P.E. is around 87. What's the average P.E. of the S&P 500? Over any length of time, it's 15 or 16, somewhere in that range. This one's 5 times more than the average. Why? Well, one of the reasons why people have bid it up, because the sales growth has been very strong, 25%, 25 to 30% quarter over quarter over quarter growth. Whenever you see a company like that, of course it's going to bid up. But why is it going down now? Why? Well, there's really no reason other than it's probably overpriced. There's no reason. Same fundamentals existed before and after. And this is the problem when you get a very high growth stock. It gets overvalued, and you just never know when it will come back to a proper valuation. It's still not there, in my personal opinion. Now, you wanted a buy point. I think if you can get it around $77, 70 in the high 70s, that's a really good entry point. Now, will it still be overpriced there? Yeah, but I think it's going to stay overpriced. Until the sales growth starts to fall sharply, this stock will stay overpriced. Under Armour, UA is the symbol, Under Armour. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is our anytime number. So let's pick up with this question.
Hey, guys. When you manage money for people, do you trade both ways? I have a money manager with a major investment brokerage, and they do not short anything. I have significant risk as the market breaks down, and I feel a good trader should be able to make money going up or going down in the market, and I want to know your feeling on that. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All major brokerage firms won't go to cash generally, and they won't trade on the short side generally. They just don't, because that's against the philosophy of their company. I will go to cash. I've done that. And I will short when I think it's necessary. So, yeah, we will do both ways. More, I don't necessarily short to make money. I short the hedge against losses to try to, because I may not want to sell my big gainers and then trigger a capital gains tax or get out of some good solid stocks that I want to hold. But I'll short you know, an index or short something to hedge against the downside. So that short position will go up if the market goes down, even though I'm still holding on to stocks and they're going down. But I also will use cash and produce a lot of cash when I think it's prudent, and then reinvest that cash, hopefully when the market's low. So yeah, that's what we do at KPP Financial. But you know, I don't try to time the market. That's always very difficult, impossible to do with any consistency. But you know, I do try to, you know, understand economic cycles, and when they start, the economy starts to go into a recession, or it looks like it might go into a recession, I start to get more conservative and start to move to cash and put on some hedges, some shorts to protect us. Protects us all, because I invest my money right along with my clients. You know, I do the same thing for me as I do for my clients at the same price, same time, same percentage. So I want to make sure, you know, I'm protecting myself as well as all the clients. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The first week of December has been very, very volatile. I mean, look at today's market. It was up 370 points on the Dow. Well, yesterday it was down 265, whatever it was last yesterday, 275. So it's very, very volatile. I have a feeling we might continue to see some volatility. So might have to get used to it. Let's go to Arish in Santa Clara. How you doing, Arish?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
I have a question about Gilead Sciences. I'd like to know, compared to its peers, that has a very low PE.
Yes.
I was wondering why.
Okay.
Does it mean it has a does it mean it has a good potential, or does it mean its revenues are pretty much stagnant?
No, the revenues are growing, the numbers look great, the fundamentals look great, and it looks cheap. What the problem is Gilead Sciences, GILD, no matter how good the numbers are, they're reliant, the numbers are reliant on almost one drug that's very expensive. And that's a lot of traders and investors think that's risky. And any bad news that comes out on their one main drug really could hit the bottom line very fast. And that's why it's so cheap on a PE ratio. The PE is only 9. Yeah. You know, the earnings are $8.09 a share in 2014, up from $2 the year before. And in 2015, it's going to be $12. But all that's coming from, Arish, from one major drug. And that's why the traders are a little scared of Gilead. Okay? Numbers look great, though.
What's your outlook for this company, then?
Well, I have the same nervousness about it. I like it. I think it'd be a good place to buy. If you can buy this company around 90, 98, high 90s, it's right now, 104? I think it'd be a great buy. But it's got that big risk with that one drug. Just so you know. Thanks for the call, Arish. Appreciate it. As we move into the final segment of the day, we welcome your questions about any money matter. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. InvestTalk is one of the few podcasts that allows you to talk directly with the hosts while the podcast is being produced. Just call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and you'll get through to Steve or Justin. Toll free, 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278.
Okay, let's go to Richard in Santa Clara. How you doing, Richard?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, I have a quick question regarding annuity in general, but I'm looking for specifically on a variable annuity with an income with a rider for investment protection.
Okay.
And just want to understand what are the pros and cons. I was recently offered this product by one of the insurance agent, or a broker, I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just want to know what's your take, whether I should buy these or whether or not, and what are pros and cons?
Okay. An annuity is issued by an insurance company, everybody, and there's two major types of annuities. One's called a fixed annuity, one's called a variable. And Richard here is talking about a variable annuity. A fixed annuity is like a CD. You get a certain amount of rate, and that's it. Now he's talking about a variable annuity, which a variable annuity, you buy mutual funds with it. And Richard, you said it had a rider, a return rider guarantee or something like that?
It's an investment protection rider. So okay. There's a floor. Some floor, and then, if it goes above or below.
Yeah, what they do.
Below, then.
Yeah, many of the ones I'm familiar with, if you put $100,000 into the annuity, they guarantee that you'll never lose money. They have a floor. They'll never lose money. And, there's nothing wrong with that. The pros and cons of annuity. First of all, they're always sold to people because it's a pretty high commission to the guy who's selling it to you. He makes a lot of money. You're trapped in the annuity for 7 to 10 years. What is the time length? Did they tell you how long you got to stay? It's usually
12 years, I think.
12 years, okay. So you can't sell it in 12 years, or else you're going to get a stiff penalty or whatever they're going to charge you. An annuity is a tax-deferred instrument. It defers taxes, so you don't have to pay capital gains taxes until the end of the annuity period of 12 years, and it makes it look like it's making money all along that time until at the end of 12 years, you got to pay all the, when you get out, you got to pay all the capital gains all at one time. So it's kind of misleading that you're not making as much as you think you're making. So there's the in a variable annuity, you got to remember it is the strength of the insurance company. If they go bankrupt, you got a big problem. Okay, they do have
lose the money in that case.
Well, they do have a guarantee fund where you won't lose all of it, but you'll lose a lot of it.
Okay. And also, this is in my IRA account, so.
And it makes, makes no sense to have an annuity in an IRA account because an IRA is already a tax-deferred instrument. But at least at the end of the annuity period of 12 years, you still won't owe taxes. You won't owe capital gains, okay? But there's no reason to have a tax-deferred instrument in a tax-free account. Makes no sense to me. So I'm not big on it, Richard. As you can see, I'm not too. The pros to me are there's so little. That floor is the only pro that I see. The floor won't go below. And that's pretty safe.
Right.
Especially, you know how they can do that? Because after 12 years, there's never been any 12-year period in the stock market that the market has not gone up. Just so you know. So that's
the only selling point for me is the floor or the investment protection. That's why I was sold onto it. I mean, I haven't bought it yet, but
that'd be the only thing that I think is a pro myself. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate the call.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You're welcome. Annuities. Yeah, I'm not just a big fan of them. I'm just not. I used to be in the insurance business, by the way, but I never got involved with annuities in the insurance business. 888-99-CHART. Do you know who George Graham Rice is? George Graham Rice was a con artist who got away with $100 million. That was back in the early 1900s. In today's dollars, that's $1.4 billion. He was a pump and dumper. He would convince people to invest in gold mining companies, pump the stock, and sell it to you as you sold it up. Made millions. Our hour's up. Remember, you can see a long list. That, by the way, is George Graham Rice. You can see our record. You go to our website. See a list of our books there we have for you. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, I thank you for being with us, listening to the show, and we'll see you on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities.
Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.